Twins are in Arizona taking on the Diamondbacks. Arizona won at 9-5. Game two of the three-game set coming up tonight. Lineup card at 8:30, first pitch at 9:10. Bobby Nightingale, good enough to join us from the Valley of the Sun. And Bobby, good to visit with you as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
All right, is it triple digits in Phoenix today?
Yeah, it's June, so that's I feel like anything under 110 is a nice day.
Yeah, for sure. But as we've said, it's a dry heat. It's a little bit different than 95 and humid here in the Twin Cities. The Twins had a really good run in Texas, unusual three games over 4 days down there. They played really well down in Arlington.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you have to give them credit for kind of controlling the games the way they did. Especially, I mean, they scored in the first inning every game. They never trailed in any of the games. They pitched well. Bullpen held up fine. So, yeah, I mean, with complete games, I mean, I think that the three-game total was 25-7, how much they outscored them by. So I think that speaks to kind of how thoroughly the three games went.
Yeah, the Rangers haven't had a particularly good season, but the Twins go in there, four-game streak. They saw it come to an end, and it was really the fielding that was their undoing in that game Friday night in Arizona, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, you can't give a team extra outs, let alone several extra outs in the same inning. Two double play balls they booted. It only turned into one out total. There was a balk in there. There was another misplay that probably could have been called an error. So, yeah, I mean, it was an ugly fifth inning. They gave up four runs in that. Obviously, it hurts. Changes the kind of the complexion of the game. If they're winning, they probably use different relievers, end up giving a three-run triple to Corbin Carroll there in the eighth inning to make the score kind of a little bit more distant. But, I mean, it was a one-run game in the middle of the eighth inning. They had a chance to win it. Defense cost them, and then pitching hurt them late.
Yeah, and Bobby, in your gamer, you alluded to the fact that this was a concern about this ball club going into the season with the makeup that, you know, infield defensively at times was going to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Brooks Lee, playing him at shortstop, obviously they moved him to third base already, but, you know, there are questions about whether he could handle it. I mean, there was a reason why Carlos Correa was the starting shortstop and Brooks Lee was kind of moving around the rest of the infield. And then as soon as Carlos Correa gets traded, he starts playing third base and says, you know, he stopped kind of viewing himself as a shortstop. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it starts. I mean, defense starts up the middle and shortstop and second base has been kind of a black hole for them defensively. I mean, Tristan Gray struggled as much as Brooks Lee has, and Ryan Kreidler's been better, but obviously he doesn't kind of have the offensive track record that the other guys do, and he's going to have to earn a little bit more of his opportunities. But, you know, if you're relying on defense, I mean, that just hasn't been a thing for the Twins the past few years. I mean, they've tried to kind of outslug their defense a little bit, and kind of same thing with Luke Kuechel at second base, where, you know, they're hoping to get more offensive production than, you know, kind of the defense that the defensive liability there.
And certainly injuries and circumstance, they've had to run Connor Prelip out there, and, you know, he's had his moments, but it's probably not an ideal situation to have, you know, Prelip taking the ball every fifth day.
I mean, I think he's up for it. I think obviously, they're down an extra starter. So, I mean, even with Nick Abel on the verge of returning, that'll just give them five healthy starters. So he'll still stay in the rotation. I think the thing that hurts them is they don't really have the flexibility to kind of manage him the way they really want to. I mean, this is a guy who has thrown 80 innings maximum in a season before. I mean, that's his highest total. So they do have to be cautious with his innings because you can't just go from 80 to 150 and expect him to stay healthy, especially with his injury history already. So I think that's what they want to be cautious about. You know, anytime you're relying on a rookie in your rotation, there's going to be some growing pains that go with it. I think he's had some, but, you know, I think he pitched better yesterday than kind of the stats showed for him. I mean, if he had a better defensive fifth inning, I think, you know, he has a quality start.
You know, the one thing you can say about Prelip, though, in starts this year where he's maybe got nicked early, he's still been able to hang in there and get through five, or as far as Friday night goes, six innings. So in that respect, they've been able to let him work through it, if you will.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the growing pains that he's going to have, especially. Yeah. I mean, even more so than other guys. He barely pitched in the minor leagues. I mean, you're talking about 150 minor league innings coming once he got called up. So, I mean, it's not like he has this a ton of background to go off of. I mean, he's just dealt with so many injuries since college that he's more inexperienced than your average 26-year-old. And I think that plays into it where it's like, okay, he's going to learn how to go through a lineup a third time through. He's going to learn how to do these things. Because before the season, I mean, he had one six-inning start in his career, and that was the last start of last season. So, you know, this is kind of new to him facing a lineup for a third time and balancing your pitches that way and attacking hitters differently each time through. So these are all, you know, things he has to check off the list. And I think he's doing an okay job of it. But it's just one of those you're going to have to live with the growing pains when you have a rookie in the rotation.
Bobby Nightingale joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He's in Arizona covering the Twins. Twins and Diamondbacks late tonight. Lineup card 8:30, first pitch after 9 o'clock. Ty Bradley on the mound. More on that in a bit. Bobby, as you get to late June, not only talk about the All-Star break and who the All-Star candidates are and who deserves, a guy that just flat out comes to mind and hopefully everyone sees fit to put Byron Buxton in center field for the American League at the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has a good chance of starting. He was fourth, and I think the initial vote tally, and now Aaron Judge is with an injury. Mike Trout just went on the injured list. So I think that bodes a better chance for him that he's going to get a chance to start in the All-Star game. And it's, you know, it's well-deserved. I mean, if you take away the first 2 weeks when he struggled coming off the World Baseball Classic, didn't get a ton of at-bats in that. Since then, I mean, he's been one of the best two or three hitters in baseball. So, you know, great, worthy candidate for him. I mean, his power kind of speaks for itself, his base running, his defense. So, you know, he's been the total team MVP for the Twins this year.
Yeah, and, you know, back-to-back good years. 2025 didn't go the way anybody had hoped, but it was such a good year for Buxton. And for him to be able to follow that up is so gratifying. And, you know, as a result of his good year, you know, you start hearing Byron Buxton's name and trade rumors, and is he going to go to a contender? He's been adamant again. He wants to stay here. He wants to finish his career in a Twins uniform. He makes that very clear.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to him, you know, several times over the past few years about it. I mean, his answer's never changed, and he controls all the cards. I mean, he has a complete no-trade clause, so even if the Twins did want to trade him, and even if a contender, you know, had the perfect trade package they wanted to do, I mean, it's up to him to decide if he ever wanted to take it. So he controls everything. I do think playing with Joe Mauer early in his career had a big impact on him. I mean, a guy who played with one team his entire baseball life, and I think that's something he wants to do. I mean, it's such a rare thing these days, and I get there's people that are like, okay, if the team's struggling, why not go try to chase a ring somewhere? But even you see guys like Mike Trout do the same thing. I mean, there is a loyalty aspect to it that that shouldn't be lost. I mean, I do think he sees it as, you know, he signed an extension with the Twins. He wants to finish that contract and wants to play out the rest of his career with the Twins because they were the team that drafted him, gave him a chance, and stuck by him during the, you know, when he had some down years with injuries.
Yeah, and I think there is just a continuity, family, lifestyle, all of that bouncing around, getting set up somewhere else, and, you know, keeps being tied to his hometown in Atlanta, but you know, there's no guarantee on that as well. So, you know, Byron Buxton's been pretty adamant. Now, another name that comes up is Joe Ryan, his age, his contract status, et cetera. There would be a ton of teams interested in Joe Ryan. Question is, you know, would the Twins be willing to move on? Are they going to try and extend? There's more moving parts with Joe Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, if you're not going to win this year, he has one more year before he becomes a free agent after the season. So that kind of enters the calculus. I don't think they're anywhere close to an extension. The last time I checked, there's no movement on that front. So I think it's one of those, yeah, sure, maybe it makes sense. But also, the Twins are two games out of a playoff spot right now. I can't really see them blowing up their season and next season, because it's hard to replace a Joe Ryan in your rotation if you're going to make that type of deal at the deadline.
Yeah, and having him under control, considering the uncertainty of 2027 in the major leagues, we have no idea what the offseason and next season is going to look like, Bobby. And as we get into June and toward the All-Star break, I think the talk of what will next year look like, will there be a next year, that chatter will continue to ramp up.
Yeah, and I think I take the view of it as, you know, you have to assume there's going to be a next season, a full for next sure. season. Yeah, I mean, if there's not, I mean, you have bigger problems to worry about than, you know, how much right. longer you have Joe Ryan under contract. I mean, the sport will have much bigger issues. So, I think that's fair to question. I'm sure that'll come up around the trade deadline as teams not willing to part with prospects the same way because of the uncertainty of how many games will get played next year with a lockout, pretty much a certainty this offseason. So, I'm sure that'll come up, but, you know, Joe Ryan, if you're a contending team, I'm sure they'll make their pitches. You know, he's a guy that you would start in a playoff game, and there's not many starters that have the ability to do that. And if you're the Twins, I mean, if you're at the same spot, two games out of a playoff spot in August, so, you know, I can't see them waving the white flag 2 years in a row, especially the way fans reacted to last year. It's hard for me to see Tom Pola the way he spoke in the offseason and spring training, you know, about how much they have money to upgrade the roster, how much they want to make a splash and kind of find the right time to do that. If there's a chance, even a small chance at a playoff spot, I think they'll push for it.
Yeah, and I think also you look next year, assuming that everything works out in the offseason, players and owners get together, you got Joe Ryan, you would assume Pablo Lopez would be available, and Taj Bradley, and then all of a sudden it's like, I think there's a lot of clubs in the major leagues that would love to have a top three in their starting rotation going into 2027.
Yeah, and I mean, that was kind of the focus this year. I mean, when they entered spring training, that was kind of the reason they were optimistic, because they were about the starting rotation, was saying, you know, there's the worst places to start off than if you have Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez and Taj Bradley. And, you know, even goes on, you know, Bailey Ober, McAble, and those guys. So, I mean, I think that's kind of where they entered the season. Now, obviously, the bullpen was the big issue entering the season, infield defense, as we mentioned earlier. But, you know, if Pablo Lopez was still healthy, I mean, obviously this is a different looking team. So, I think that factors in too. I mean, if you're going to trade a guy like Joe Ryan, it's not like next year you're going to have another type of Joe Ryan on your team. It's hard to find number two starters as it is. So it's really hard to trade those guys away.
All right, Bobby, one final thought before we let you go. And there's been a talk a lot about pitching and the bullpen and position players. But one guy released by the Phillies, picked up, Cody Clemens, has found a home. You know, a Swiss Army knife, can play all over, done a really nice job, has hit for some power. I mean, this is a really good story, and you got to be happy for a guy like Cody Clemens.
Yeah, I mean, talk about getting an opportunity and running with it. I mean, it was one of those. He was only on the roster because, you know, Luke Kuechel broke his arm and they needed someone kind of in an emergency, and he was available, and Twins picked up on him. And I mean, who would have guessed, you know, he was going to be playing some center field this year, playing the outfield as well, much as he has. But yeah, I mean, he's still crushing right-handed pitching like he did last year. I mean, he was a good story last year, but the ability to continue on it, you know, when teams are kind of gearing up for him, he's hitting at the top of the lineup. I mean, it shouldn't go under the radar. I mean, it's a nice success story for Cody Clemens, and, you know, it's a big boost for the Twins. I mean, I don't think they're in the spot they are this season without him.
Well, Bobby, always good to visit with you. Trip to Arizona, and then huge series coming up at Target Field, the Dodgers, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I think people have to be revved up to CLA and that gigantic payroll.
Yeah, I heard they're looking at 30,000 plus for the first game there, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after that. Otani might pitch Wednesday, so it should be a fun environment back in Minnesota. I mean, Dodgers coming to town, I think, anywhere is a big draw these days, but always fun. I mean, especially when Dodgers only come once every 2 years, to see Otani come to town, that'll be a treat.
Well, and to see him pitch as well, or the opportunity to see him pitch. Bobby, always great. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Yeah, Bobby Nightingale covers the Twins for the Star Tribune.